morning. All right. For those of you who don't know me, I am Bethany, and I am a member here at Mercy, and we are going through Luke right now, and I'm so excited. Who has been reading through Luke at all the past couple of weeks? I haven't. Tricked ya. I've been listening to it. I highly recommend, if you don't like reading your Bible, to listen to it, because it is phenomenal. I get so many more things out of it. I know, you really thought I didn't. Shame on you. But before we get started, we are going to give our vision statement like we do every week, which I hope eventually all of you will be able to also see it. So this vision statement that we're about to say, like we say every week, encompasses exactly what we're here all about. Maybe we won't. We have it memorized, right? Right? All right. Oh, there we go. We are living a passionate mission to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God, right? That's what we're all about here at Mercy. So everything we're talking about, everything we do, all revolves around that. So like I said, we're going through Luke, and I'm so excited. When Lee asked me to speak about the passage he wanted me to speak of, I thought of the perfect story to share with you guys. You know when something happens and you are just waiting for the right opportunity to share that story? It's happened, and I'm so excited. So about 9 years ago, or 8 years ago, or 10 years ago, or years ago, I don't remember how many, I was a part of a prayer internship called The Furnace. It's actually how I met Lee and Wendy, how Ryan and I got connected with them. Eventually, and that was run through the Quad City Prayer Center, which is now called One Voice. But anyway, that internship disbanded, but the organization continued to do other things. My mom has been a part of it. Ryan and I have done things in the early days every once in a while. But anyway, so that was a long time ago that we were a part of that. So shortly after that, I was in a play. And in the play, I met this kid, and we'll call him Benny. And Benny never mentioned the Quad City Prayer Center. Why would he? Like, there's no reason why he would mention that. But if you've ever been in a play or a production or part of a team, you know, for those, you know, 2, 3, 4 months that you're doing that, you know those people intimately. You know things you don't want to know about these people. You know lots of stuff about the people that you're involved with. And he never mentioned it. Whatever, not a big deal. So let's fast forward a year from there, and the Prayer Center opened up a coffee shop called Connect Coffee House. It's still there in North Park Mall. And when it first opened up, I wanted to stop by and check it out, you know, support them, buy something. And look who I see working the counter but Benny. And he had never talked about them. I didn't know that he was familiar with this organization. So, of course, I go up, and I'm, you know, trying to be friendly and asking how long he's known them. And he goes, you know, I ask him how long he's been working here, and he goes, yeah, I've been here since the beginning. I'm like, no, you haven't. I haven't even been here since the beginning, and I've known about this thing for like 2 years now. But I let him go. I let him talk about all the things that they were doing, all the things that they have been a part of, because, you know, he's been with them since the beginning. So lo and behold, one of the leaders of this organization comes up, sees me, and then proceeds to introduce me to Benny and tells Benny, oh, yeah, Bethany's been here since the beginning. It was great. I've been waiting 10 years to tell that story. And it reminded me, it made me think of this lady I knew when we were talking about humility, and she goes, in all seriousness, I'm the most humble person I know. Just say that one more time. Just say it one more time, and maybe you'll catch it, right? But what is humility? Isn't that a weird subject? I mean, what does it mean, and what does it look like? We're going to get to all of that, but first, let's pray. Well, Heavenly Father, we invite you to come here today, Lord. Without you, this is meaningless. Without you being here, without you, without your presence, we're just a club, and we don't want to be that, God. So we just ask that you would come here and that you would surround this place and that you would speak. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're going to start in Luke 15, 11 through 24. You can look in your phones because, like I said, I listen to the Bible. Where do I listen to it? Anyway, I am reading via ESV, and he goes, "And he, Jesus, said, 'There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the property that is coming to me." And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his field to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father. I will say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants." And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him and said to him, and the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Ah, it's so good. I wish we had the time to go through that, just sentence from sentence, because it is so good. But alas, we can't. But what I do want to drive home today is this, that true humility starts with where you are, but ends with who God is. And you need both. You can't have one or the other in order to experience true humility. So for those of you who don't know, one of the children that run back there is mine. So Clara, sometimes when she does something bad, she says that she has feelings of guilt. I'm in the feelings of guilt, Mom. I'm in the feelings of guilt. So let's just say, I don't know, she hit Adelaide, which is another one of my offspring. And so she apologized, and then she'll apologize to Ryan and I. And then we pray with her, and then we forgive her, and we give her a hug. And Ryan and I move on because we're over it. But sometimes she just sits on the ground. And she just is in the feelings of guilt. And it does nothing for our relationship with her. I mean, it drives a wedge between us because she is not accepting the love and the grace and the forgiveness we've offered her. I mean, she's here in the feelings of guilt. Ryan and I, we've moved over here. We're past it. That's why you need the both. You need to start with where you are, but end with who God is, because he wants to give you so many great things. I mean, and listen, I mean, it starts with recognizing where you are. Remember, the son said, I just liked how he said it. Where is it? Oh, but the son said, but he came to himself. It wasn't like he was ignorant of his situation. He came to himself before he decided to go back. But I love this. The father ignored the son's plea and goes straight to a party. He goes, so this is what the son says. He goes, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, essentially, the father ignored everything he had just said and said, "Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Son and father began to celebrate. He started with an honest assessment of where he was and ended with a party. Like, how awesome is that? But see, there's more to this story. And the real problem is there's two sons in the story, right? For those of you who are familiar with it. And the real problem is that we're both sons. So we're going to continue with this story. But before we do, I want to tell you another quick story, right? A coworker of mine sent me an email 2 months ago about a really small mistake that I made, something that I have done right for the past 6 years, and I made this small mistake that didn't really affect anybody, but she decided to email me about it, even though I've done it right for 6 years. And I was thinking about how I've done this right for 6 years. I cover up all of your problems. I don't send you emails. I just fix what you did. I've been doing this right for 6 years. Come on. I know how to do my job. Really, you're going to send me this email? You do this, and you do that, and you do this, and you're just not fun to work with, and I'm really fun to work with. All these things are going through my mind over this really simple email. I mean, I did it. You know, I did make that mistake, but we're not going to touch on that. So anyway, we're going to pick up with the story and see if, I don't know, maybe he reminds you of anybody we've just been talking about. So we're going to start with Luke 15. We're going to finish 25 through 32. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked him what these things meant. He didn't even go inside, guys. He's just like, what's going on in there? It's his house. He didn't even check it out. Anyway, that's beside the point. Okay. And the servant said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I may celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, he doesn't say brother, he says this son of yours, like disconnecting, came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him? And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad. For this your brother was dead, and he is alive. He was lost and is found. And there's so many things to pick up on that. So he killed the fattened calf, right, for the younger son. And he's, but you didn't even give me a goat, just a little goat. You didn't even give me that. And then you give him this huge fattened calf and this huge party. See, the thing is, if we don't ask the Holy Spirit to reveal what's inside of us, we won't see it. We will always be justified somehow. We will always be justified because you did everything right for 6 years. Right? You'll always be justified because you worked on your father's land and you didn't do anything wrong. Look what he's doing. You will always be justified. But here's the beautiful thing about God. Absolutely beautiful. In the story, he comes to both sons. Right? The first son, he sees him far off and he feels compassion. He felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the second son, it says, his father came out and entreated him. God comes to both. He'll come to us when we're humble and he'll come to us when we're full of pride. But we'll only receive what he wants to lavishly give us with humility. It was with humility that the younger son was at the party. It was with pride that the older son refused to go to the party. He didn't even go check the party out himself. He lives there. He lives there. He had to know something was up. I mean, why else would he go? What would he do that and not check it out? And I love parables and analogies, as we all do, as metaphors in general, just helps illustrate things. But I also like to show a picture of something that, as Jesus followers, we believe this really happened. So, and I think it illustrates perfectly everything we're talking about. So let's go back into Luke, but this time we're going to fast forward to Luke 23. We're going to go to verses 39 through 43. All right, so Jesus is being crucified right now. And one of the criminals, who were rallied, we'll call him the older son, at him saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other, we'll call him the younger son, rebuked him saying, "Do you not fear God? Since you are under the same sentence of condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." One criminal is still justifying himself, just like the older son, just like, just a goat. Save yourself and me. It wasn't about where he was. But the other criminal, he saw who he was, and then he saw who Jesus was and spoke the truth about each. He said, "And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And the one thing that's beautiful about this, I know I said beautiful like five times, but it's true, it's beautiful. This man on the cross has admitted to being a criminal, admitted to, he's saying, receiving the due rewards for his deeds. So he believes that being crucified on the cross for what he did was justified. So just let that sink in. He did nothing for the gospel. Think about that. He didn't preach about the kingdom of God. He wasn't Jesus' disciple reaching out and healing people. He wasn't teaching people about the good news of who Christ is. He didn't do anything for the kingdom of God, right? He admitted that himself. He said that he's receiving the due reward of his deeds. But he was humble before Jesus, and Jesus said that he would be with him in paradise. He said, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." That's what humility gets us. Jesus, forever in paradise. He didn't do anything. When we're humble, we get to be with Jesus in paradise. We get a party thrown for us, and we get the fattened calf. Like, how beautiful is that? I know, see, I said it again. I knew I could get it in again. I just love that. I love when you really think about he did nothing for Jesus except recognize who he was. Right? Ah, so good. So good. Well, I was so excited, guys, that I spoke a lot faster than when I practiced at my house. So if I could have the worship team come back up. All right, we're going to pray. Well, Heavenly Father, we are thankful for you being here and for your presence, God. And we just ask, Lord, that we need your Holy Spirit to essentially self-examine us, to see where we are. God, we want to accept all that you have to give to us, but if we're holding on to our pride, our hands are full, and we can't take what you want to give us. So Heavenly Father, help us to empty our hands and look at you and see who you are. God, that we can, that it starts with where we are, but ends with who you are. So God, we pray this all in your name.